So when we come to the first verse of chapter 2, we see that the author gives the first of five warnings to the believers who are reading or listening to this epistle. He begins the warning with the word therefore. And so that's why I've entitled the first point there, what the therefore is there for. This means that in order to understand this warning at all, we need to remember and to understand what the writer has been saying in the previous 14 verses. The author is basing his warning to them on doctrine that he has been teaching and reminding them of in this first chapter of the book of Hebrews. We know that the overarching theme of Hebrews is the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we must remember that this has very practical implications for us as well. And so this is a good opportunity for us to review the first chapter of Hebrews. And I'm going to do this very quickly. We spent some time looking at the first chapter and in some detail. But I just want to quickly go over the main points here in Hebrews chapter 1. So Hebrews 1 begins with the doctrine of revelation. God spoke. First in the Old Testament, then in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through the prophets. And then in the New Testament times, he spoke via his Son. And on the basis of this, because of this, we must give heed to the warning given in chapter 2. Now, the importance of this revelation is emphasized because the eternal Son of God is the creator of the universe, as is stated in verse 2, which means that there was no point in time in which he was not the Son of God. He did not become the Son at any point in time, but he was always the Son of God, even before creation. Various titles are given to the Son of God. He is the heir of all things. He is the brightness of his Father's glory, there in verse 3. He is the express image of his person, the upholder of all things by the word of his power, and is now sitting at the right hand of the majesty of God, since he has by himself purged our sins on the cross. And because of these things, we must heed the warning in chapter 2, verse 1. His superiority to the angels is made clear to all the world. As it states in verse 4, in the previous dispensations of time, the Son of God was not revealed to the world as he is today. We see glimpses of the Son in the Old Testament, but now he is revealed in all his glory and he inherits a more excellent name than the angels. And because of this, we must heed the warning. The declaration in verse 5 that the Son is begotten happened at the resurrection according to Romans chapter 1 verse 4. And God the Father declared this to the Son before all the angels of heaven. The eternal begetting of the Son is no longer a mystery, but God himself has declared it to the world. Then in the rest of the chapter we have a number of messianic passages from the Old Testament which are applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, which tell of the messianic rule of Christ in the future millennial kingdom. By contrast, the angels are simply ministering spirits, as we see in verse 7 and verse 14, and they are commanded to worship the Son. The rule of the Messiah will be eternal, however, and righteousness will be its chief characteristic. And because of this, we must heed the warning. As the creator of the universe, the Son is unchanging, and we call this the immutability of God. And that's such a comforting thought in this changing world, isn't it? Everything around us changes. We change. We get older. Our circumstances change. But God doesn't change. The Son of God doesn't change. The Lord Jesus Christ never changes. He's the same. always. Even our world will change so much, it says there in chapter 1, that it will finally just wear out. It will become like a garment full of holes, and God will change it into a new heaven and a new earth. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will finally have the victory over all things. All of his enemies will be made his footstool, the last of which is death, which is cast into the lake of fire. And because of this, because of all these things that we've been looking at in chapter 1, we must heed the warning in chapter 2, which says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Now the word translated ought is very strong. It's an emphatic word. This means that this warning, what we're given in chapter 2 verse 1, it's not an optional extra. Like it's not if we feel like it, or, you know, when we're not too busy, we ought to give the more earnest heed. No. It's not in our spare time. It's not occasionally. No, it's our responsibility to do this as Christians because of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. And so we come to the second point, carefully and continually paying attention to the word. Now, when we read the Bible, it's sometimes difficult to fully appreciate and communicate the urgency given to a passage of Scripture. And I think here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, we have an example of this. The word translated as earnest has the meaning of superabundantly. It's often translated as exceedingly. It speaks of an intense interest, of a devotion and a passion that burns within us. And next we have the word to heed, which in Matthew chapter 7 verse 15 is translated as beware. The Lord Jesus says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. The Lord Jesus warns them about false prophets which sneak in. And the word used is beware, same word that is translated to heed in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. That is, we should be on the lookout for those who deceive others and cause them to stumble with false doctrine. Now clearly, it's obvious that this isn't a casual warning. Okay, when the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to them, he's not saying, oh, you know, look, just in your spare time, just look out for these people. Or, you know, if you have a moment to spare, when you're not too busy, look out for some wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, it's not going to be too much of a problem. No, he says, beware. It's a very strong word. And yet in Hebrews we have the same word but used in a positive sense and intensified by the adverb to take earnest heed, to pay urgent, careful attention. And notice that the writer includes himself in this warning. He says, we ought to take earnest heed. We. And as in the rest of the book of Hebrews, he's addressing believers, isn't he? There are those who use this passage and others, these warning passages in Hebrews, to teach that a believer can lose their salvation. However, the Bible never says this. The Bible never teaches that a believer can lose their salvation. On the other hand, it's full of assurances and promises to us that once we are saved, we are always saved. A believer cannot lose eternal life. It is promised by God to the believer unconditionally. This is because we are saved by grace through faith. And that, not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We cannot ever earn our salvation by doing good things, and so we can never lose our salvation by sinning. Now, as a young Christian, I struggled to understand this until my pastor showed me 1 John 5:13. You can turn there quickly if you've got your Bible handy. 1 John 5:13 says, the first epistle there of John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." As a young man, when I was pointed out, when this verse was pointed out to me, it struck me. And I remember my pastor went on to say to me, "Do you believe what God said, or do you doubt that His word is true?" And this really got to me. It struck me that by doubting my salvation, by doubting that I was saved, and you know, I thought I was going to lose my salvation. By thinking that, I was making God a liar. And that really struck me, that I could think this way. God clearly states in His word that we can know for sure that we have eternal life. We know that we have eternal life because we believe the gospel. And so the question must be asked today, do you know that you have eternal life? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life? Do not trust in your good works or how faithful you have been to God. That doesn't matter one bit. All the good deeds, all the good intentions and efforts to please God will not bring you one step closer to heaven. Only faith in the only begotten Son of God will do. But back to the warning in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. As believers, we are to continually pay careful attention to the Word of God. The verb to take heed is in the continual present tense. And this means that we need to do this all the time. Okay, it's not just a once for all thing, and it's not just a, you know, once a week thing at church. No, it's all the time, continually taking earnest heed, giving earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And we have this same principle all throughout the Bible, don't we? Deuteronomy chapter 6, these are well-known verses to us. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 7 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." All the time. When you're driving in your car, when you're at work, you know, when you're at home, whatever you're doing, that's the time to be giving earnest heed to the Word of God. It doesn't matter. That it's not just in church when we're gathered here together. It's not just when you're at home doing your quiet time or reading your Bible at home. It's all the time. It's a continual thing that we must do. One commentary summarizes it this way. The duty here intended is a serious, firm, and fixed settling of the mind upon that which we hear. A bowing and bending of the will to yield unto it. An applying of the heart to it. A placing of the affections upon it. And bringing the whole man into conformity thereunto. Thus it comprises knowledge of the word, faith therein, obedience thereto, and all other due respects that may any way concern it. And notice that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, the onus is not just on the things heard, but on what we do with it. It doesn't just say, you know, just listen to the word. Just hear it and you'll be fine. No, it doesn't say that. And we need to do something with it. And here we're commanded to give earnest heed. Okay, and this aligns very closely with the book of James, which tells us in James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." It is no good just hearing the word of God. We often do that, don't we? We read it or hear it. We open our Bibles at home. We listen to it in church, and that's great. But that's not where it ends. Okay, we're not just to listen to it and then do nothing. Okay, it's meant to affect our lives. We're meant to do something with what we hear. We're meant to put it into practice. And otherwise, our faith is useless. And James goes on to say in the next chapter that faith without works is dead. It's useless, pointless. Faith or doctrine, in other words, what we learn from the Bible, must be put into practice. Otherwise, it's dead, it's useless. It does us no good to come to church and hear the word of God being taught if we do not then put it into practice. We must do something with it. If we don't, it profits no one. And worse still, it's actually detrimental to our testimony. When unbelievers see that we do not practice what we preach, it turns them off the gospel. Turns them away from the Lord Jesus Christ. If they see that we say one thing, we go to church, but our life is not consistent with the Bible, why do they want any part of that? They don't. They see that the hypocrisy in that. And so we come to the third point. If we do not, we will drift away. The consequences of not paying careful attention to the word of God is given in the last part of this verse. Now in Greek, this is a first class condition, which simply means that failure to take earnest heed, to give earnest heed to the word of God, necessarily results in us slipping away. There is no maybe here. There is no, oh well, you know, if you don't take earnest heed, don't give earnest heed to the word, then you know you might slip away. No, it's you will slip away if you don't pay careful attention to the word of God. And the word here gives the picture of a boat drifting away with the tide. Now, those of us who are fishermen know that the tide is very important. We pay careful attention to the ebb and flow of the sea. And the tide is a powerful force, isn't it? There have been a few occasions when I've been fishing and, you know, left my stuff there on the sandbank at low tide. And, you know, you get distracted, you start catching a few fish or whatever, and then you forget about your stuff. All the time the tide is rising. And then you turn around and your bag and your bucket is just floating away. Okay, that's happened a few times to myself and I'm sure to other people as well. The same thing can happen to our Christian lives. We can get so caught up in the busyness of life that we neglect those things which we should have been doing. We neglect to pay attention to the word of God. And slowly but surely the current of this world takes us away from our relationship with God. We drift away. We don't mean for this to happen, but it does. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. If you're quick to turn there, you can. 1 Timothy 1:19 says, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." says there, we ought to hold fast, to persevere in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that first part, that holding faith, means that we're to be anchored in the faith. We're to be holding fast to it, which is the same as paying careful attention, or in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, giving earnest heed to the word. And those who do not do this, those who do not hold fast, but put away their faith, it says, some having put away concerning faith. That means they, you know, they put it away. They put it, you know, somewhere where it's not noticeable. The analogy is like, you know, you put something in a wardrobe and there it sits collecting dust. You forget about it. And what happens there is that the consequence of this is making shipwreck, it says, of the Christian life. Again, that maritime analogy is given here. Our Christian life will run aground and be broken in pieces. Anyone who's ever been in a boat knows that you need to pay careful attention to where you're going. You can't just drift along with the tide and wind, and certainly when there's bad weather. You know, you can't just cruise along. Eventually, you're going to run aground if you don't do anything. The sailor who does not look carefully for the weather and the tide and the rocks, who does not take earnest heed to his boat, will surely run aground and his boat will be dashed to pieces against the rocks. And it's the same for us as Christians, isn't it? You know, when things are calm, when everything's happy, we can just cruise along for a little while anyway. But it's when those unexpected storms of life arise, when some trial comes and our world is turned upside down, that's when the problems come, if we're not paying close attention to the Bible. Our faith will be shattered at that time. Now, going back to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, notice when you read that verse in your Bibles, that word them is in italics, okay, meaning that it is supplied by the translator for readability. Okay, and what this means is that the slipping away can refer to both the faith of the reader and also to the person themselves. Okay, it goes hand in hand. And this makes sense because if we do not pay careful attention to the word of God, both our faith will slip away and also our own lives as well. I believe that the slipping or drifting away here refers to the, you know, to the Christian who slowly drifts back into the world. Okay? And unfortunately, this is something that we see quite often. You know, people who come to church, you know, they're really enthusiastic for a little while. They say, "Oh, this is a fantastic church. You teach the Bible." And they get really excited and they come to every single service for a while. Give it a few months, and what happens? You start seeing them maybe once a week, then once every 2 weeks, then once a month, and then not at all. They've slipped away. They've gone back into the world. But the warning should be for all of us. Okay, I like how the author includes himself in this as well. He's not immune from this as well. The same thing can happen to any of us in our Christian life if we do not pay close attention to the word. And I hope that this is a reminder to all of us. You know, this is it's a very obvious message, isn't it? I don't have to belabor the point. It's quite clearly here in chapter 2, verse 1. I don't have to try and explain it too hard. Okay, it's an obvious message to all of us. And none of us are immune from this. We can't say that, "Oh, this will never happen to me. I'm too old. I've been in the church for years. I've been a Christian for 30, 40, however many years. It'll never happen to me." No. We need to examine ourselves regularly. And this text today reminds us of this? Are we slowly slipping away? Have we neglected our faith and the Word of God? Are we in danger of drifting back into the world? And if you're honest with yourself, then perhaps you are, and we often have to admit that. And the Lord sometimes uses passages like this to wake us up. But you know what, brethren, there is grace here as well. If you are finding yourself in this state of slipping away, then you can get back on track today. You can confess your sins to God. You can get back into fellowship with the Lord. There's always that grace, that opportunity for us to get back on track. So I hope this message has been a good reminder of this very basic truth. And I hope we think about it this week. Amen. Let's pray.